Our scripture reading for this hour's lesson is found in the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. Jesus says, "For as Jonas," King James, "was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Once again, a pleasant good morning to you. So very appreciative of you and your decision to be here this morning as we worship God in spirit and in truth. I hope you are excited about worshiping Him as we have been doing and we'll continue to do as He gives us the opportunity to throughout our activities of the day. A man went through the yellow pages and found a lawyer in his town and rang up his office and said, "I'd like to speak to the lawyer." And they put him on the phone and he says, "How much would you charge to answer 3 questions? The lawyer said, $1,000. The man said, $1,000? Isn't that a little steep?" The lawyer said, "Yes, it is. Now what's your 3rd question? I want us to compare and contrast in our time allotted for our lesson today. In my library, you may have it as well, I have a book simply titled Jesus and Jonah, written by Brother J.W. McGarvey, who wrote it around the time of the Civil War. There are many parallels between Jonah in the Old Testament and Jesus in the New Testament. I know a couple of months ago we presented a lesson called You Just Had to Ask, some questions that come from the book of Jonah. And that was very well received, and I appreciate the kind compliments. And I thought, let's go ahead, while he may be somewhat fresh on our minds, let us look then at comparing Jesus and Jonah together with the lesson types and anti-types. What are those? Those may be phrases that you may not be familiar with, or you may. Types and anti-types are just simply God's way of prefiguring things into the future. Whenever we come across something in the Old Testament, that's the type. And when we come across it in the New Testament, that is the anti-type. The book of Hebrews, the Hebrew author calls these things shadows of things to come. And we will see some parallels. Now, they're not 100%. Obviously, there was only one Jesus Christ. But at the same time, there are a lot of similarities in the life of Jonah that we can pull out and notice it there in the life of Christ. Now, Jonah is interesting. He foolishly ran from God. And people would say, why then would you pick someone who vehemently defies God as an anti-type of Jesus? Because it's what else he does. Obviously, Jesus never denied a command from God, or that would have made him not Jesus. But yet there are still some parallels, if you will, 7 of them. And I want us to look at these in our allotted time. And if you're taking notes, 2 things you may want to do. There's on the pew in front of you, it should be a yellow card. I have a card placed in Jonah. I'm going to be referencing from Jonah a lot, as well as the New Testament, so maybe a ribbon marker, something for you if you want to run these references with me to make your life a little bit easier. I mean, Jonah is a short book after all, about 50 verses. And the second thing is, I have made my notes such as this on the screen, where I have one column that's going to stand for Jonah. And I have one column then that's going to represent Jesus. And that way, at least in my mind, I can better compare and contrast the two. Maybe you can as well. So first off, let's see the call of Jonah. Jonah's call, he was sent to preach to the Assyrians and to tell them about salvation. He went to Nineveh. Look here in Jonah chapter 1 and the first 2 verses. "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." Flip over to chapter 3 and the first 2 verses. "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, and go unto Nineveh, the great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." So Jonah had a call. His call was to go to the city of Nineveh, a great, wicked, sin-filled city. But he was supposed to preach unto them words that would save them. What about Jesus Christ? His call, he has sent all men everywhere to preach the gospel. You know the Great Commission, right? Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20, right there at the end of Matthew's gospel account. Jesus said, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Matthew adds, amen. So the call of Jonah, you need to go and preach and tell them how to be saved. Jesus tells us you need to go and preach and tell others how they must be saved. You see how Jonah is a type of what Jesus Christ would send you and I to do? That's number one. That's the call of Jonah. Let's look at number two. There was a sacrifice. You ever thought about that? In the story of Jonah, there was a sacrifice. Well, let's read it. Jonah chapter 1. As we fill in some details here, Jonah decides to not go to Nineveh. You remember the story? He goes 100% the wrong way. He couldn't have gone more wrong if he tried. He goes completely the opposite way, and he tries to sail unto Tarshish, away from God. God sees that. On the hired boat that he's on, God causes a storm, a massive storm, like these sailors have never seen. And so they begin to try to throw everything that's not nailed down over it. And finally, Jonah says, I am the reason for your calamity. So notice what he says in verse 12, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Now, I will say, Jonah's predicament he's in is his fault because he disobeyed God. But I want you to notice what he says. If you throw me over, everything will calm up. And they tried to do something else, but look at verse 15. So they cast Jonah into the sea, and immediately the sea ceased her raging. So immediately, as soon as Jonah was sacrificed into the sea, everything became calm. What about Jesus Christ? See, Jesus Christ was a willing sacrifice. He gave his life for the world. That reference there in John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist is preaching, and Jesus walks by, and it's almost like he goes and he points. He says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. See, Jesus Christ was a willing sacrifice. Jonah was too, once he realized the mistake and the mess he was in. Look here at 1 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 6, Paul has just told Timothy, we have one mediator between God and man, all of man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for many, or for all, to be testified in due time. Jesus Christ willingly sacrificed himself upon that cross. Now, when Jonah was thrown into the sea, that just saved the lives of everybody on the ship. But when Jesus Christ was sacrificed on the cross, that gave all men everywhere the opportunity to be saved. So both of their lives involved a sacrifice. Let's move on to number three. Well, what happened post-sacrifice? What happened after that? Go back to the book of Jonah and pick up with the first verse of chapter 2. You end chapter 1, the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah up. And he was in the belly of the fish 3 days, 3 nights. Now Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. God prepared, Old Testament calls it a great fish. But if you notice, and we'll get back to that reference in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, Jesus calls it a whale. So which one is it? Well, it's the word that can be translated both ways. But it's this big fish, or even a whale. Whatever it is, it was big enough to swallow Jonah. And it was big enough that Jonah could be in the belly of it. So it's not something little. It is some massive creature that God had prepared. See, that's God using natural things in life to carry out His will. He told this whale what to do, and I find it amazing. This whale obeyed what God said. So post-sacrifice, Jonah was placed in the belly of a fish. What about Jesus? What happened after His sacrifice? Remember the story? They take Him down off the cross, and they put Him in the tomb. Notice here, Luke chapter 23 and verse 53. Luke 23 and 53, Joseph of Arimathea, verse 51, shows up on the scene. He goes to Pilate, begging for the body of Jesus. See, the followers of Christ are in a pickle. Not only, number one, did Jesus Christ die, number two, He died on a Friday. The problem with this is the Sabbath day starts at 6 o'clock on Friday. And He was put on the cross at 9 and He died at 3. That means they've only got 3 hours to deal with the body, because you can't touch a dead body on the Sabbath or you become unclean. You didn't work on the Sabbath day. So they're in a pickle. So they go to Pilate and say, can we have His body? They just hurriedly prepare Him. They're going to eventually bring Him out on Sunday, their theory is, and do a proper burial. Of course, we know the rest of that story. So notice verse 53. They took Jesus down. They wrapped Him in linen, put Him in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein man was never laid. And that was a prophecy that He would lay in a brand new tomb. But you see, when Jonah was sacrificed, he wound up in the belly of a fish or the belly of a whale. After Jesus is sacrificed, they put Him in the belly of the earth, so to speak. They put Him in a tomb. But here's what I find interesting, our next point. Both of them involve 3 days. Do you know that? Go back to the book of Jonah, chapter 2, and verse number 10. Now, chapter 2 may be one of the most beautiful prayers ever recorded in Scripture. It's Jonah's prayer. I know Jonah was alive because he was there for 3 days. And he prayed for 3 days in the belly of this whale. Now notice, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Very vivid imagery. It literally spews him forth and puts him where he needs to be. After 3 days. What about Jesus Christ? You know the story, right? Go back to Luke chapter 24 now. Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days. And after that, He was resurrected. Now the earth didn't spew Him forth like that great fish did, of course. But Jesus came out of that tomb. Luke 24, verse 7. This is a quote from Him. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise the third day. Verse 46, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Now skeptics will say, I can't figure out how you get 3 days. We know He died on a Friday, and we know He rose early Sunday morning. How do you get three? You don't get 3 whole days. Well, the Jewish people, the Jewish mindset, custom of the day, they counted days differently than you and I do. And the Jewish rule was, if you do anything on any day, you've done it for the whole day. So they put Him in the ground Friday, before you hit the Sabbath, day one. He's in the ground all day Saturday, day two. And He rises early on Sunday. That counts part for the whole. That's your third day. That's how the Jewish people reckoned it. So He was in the ground for 3 days and He came forth. But I find it interesting that Jonah is a type of Jesus and that He was in the belly of the fish for 3 days. Let's move on to post-resurrection now. Because you could say in essence that Jonah was resurrected. After His recovery from that fish, He then carried out His mission. Go back to Jonah chapter 3, 1 through 3. The Bible says, the word of the Lord, we've already read this one, came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Now here's where the story is different the second time around. So Jonah arose, and he went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Whether it took 3 days to get across or 3 days to get there, it is a big city. But I want you to notice, after that fish puts Jonah out on the dry ground, then he carries out his mission. So he didn't carry out his mission the first time that God gave him the call, or he wouldn't have wound up in the belly of the great fish to start with. But God wants him to go preach to Nineveh. And when God wants you to do something, the answer is never no. The answer is always yes. And if the answer is no, then God, especially in biblical times, God's going to make sure you learn that the answer is never no. And he'll send a great fish to correct your thinking on that, or whatever the case may be. Well, what did Jesus do post-resurrection? After Jesus rose from the grave, he fulfilled his mission. Part one was to die for humanity, and part two was to die for the church, or to create the church, rather. You know Mark 16 and 16, that's Mark's account of the Great Commission. Jesus said unto them, verse 15, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe will be damned or condemned. So Jesus gave the Great Commission. Luke also records it in Luke 24, 47 through the rest of the book. Essence, the same thing. Go and preach. Now, does this happen? See, because Jesus wasn't there the day the church started, at least in a human form. But you go back and read Acts chapter 1, they're getting ready for Pentecost, which occurred 50 days after Passover. And on that Sunday, that Pentecost, that 50th day, Peter is up speaking and the apostles. And that's the beginning of the church. The church was founded in Acts chapter 2. Jesus died for the church. He told them what to do to be saved. And Peter preaches. And Peter preaches and pricks the people's heart. They cry out, verse 37, men, brethren, what shall we do to be saved? And he said, I don't know. No, he told them what Christ said. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Or he that believes and is baptized will be saved. Mark 16, 16. See, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he carried out his mission. In essence, you could say everything that Christ did before his death was leading up to his death. Everything he did was to encourage the people, to teach the people. And then when it came time, God's will to be fulfilled, the fullness of time, Jesus Christ died upon that cross. 3 days later, rose from the grave. And then he spends a period of 40 days and he teaches them. And that's when he gives the Great Commission, the groundwork for the church. And we could read Acts chapters 1 and 2, but time would fail us to get to our remaining point. So there's your afternoon study. Plus, that's what we're doing in Bible Bowl this month. So there's your good excuse to read that as well. So I see some similarities between Jesus and Jonah after the resurrection. Now, here's where I find it, if it hasn't already been interesting, and I hope it has. But I want to look at their teaching. What did Jonah say versus what did Jesus say? So pick up in Jonah chapter 3 and verse 4. And Jonah, we already read verse 3, he finally obeys God. He decides to go. He began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, 8-word sermon. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Plain and simple. He didn't wax eloquently. He didn't wax long. You better straighten up and fly right. Because in 40 days, if you don't, you're going to be destroyed. Can you imagine that? This great, wicked city. And that's the message from God. Repent or you'll be overthrown. Repent or you'll be destroyed in 40 days. Plain and simple teaching, is it not? You better change the way you're heading, or you're not going to like your final destination, Jonah says. What about Jesus? Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 1, the beginning of the church, the chapter where we see the ascension of Christ. I alluded to it a moment ago. Jesus talked for 40 days before he ascended. And he gave the apostles the mission to continue preaching. Notice Acts chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 8. Luke records, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You ever wondered why 40? 40 is often considered a period of trial, at least in Scripture. For 40 days, Goliath taunted the Israelites. He was trying them. Many things happened for 40s in the Bible. It rained 40 days and 40 nights with the story of Noah and the ark. 40 shows up a lot. So for 40 days, Jesus showed himself. But the key word in that verse, many infallible proofs, many. Jesus was seen by many. Paul gives an almost extensive list in 1 Corinthians 15. At one point, Jesus is seen of over 500 brethren at once. But read verse 8. He says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus Christ gives them their marching orders. And I'm going to be preaching on this next week in Bible Bowl. But the church starts in Jerusalem. Be witnesses of me in Jerusalem. They next go to the region of Judea. Acts chapter 8, they go to Samaria. Acts chapter 8, they meet the Ethiopian eunuch. And Ethiopia was colloquially considered the end of the world. And then you get to the Gentiles coming in chapter 10. So that's what they do. See, both of them taught about 40 days. And Jesus' teaching would save their souls. We got one final point, and that's where we'll bring it home on. And that's the preaching. Notice back in the book of Jonah, Jonah's preaching brought about repentance and faithful obedience, which in turn brought about the salvation of the Ninevites. Go to Jonah chapter 3, verses 8, 9, and 10. Jonah 3 and verse 8, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Paul, sackcloth or sackcloth and ashes, especially as you'll see in the Old Testament, was an outward sign of mourning and repentance. They would take off their nice clothes, put on basically feed sacks that they had sewn together. They would put the ashes, the remnant from fire, all over them as a way to lower their stature and their status and to bring them in a humble nature. So when you see sackcloth or sackcloth and ashes, that's an Old Testament way of talking about repentance. Let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let everyone turn from his evil way. So that's repentance, right? Repent means to turn away from. Let every man be turned away from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. For who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works. God saw their repentance, and they were sincere, that they turned from their evil way and God repented. Now, God didn't do anything bad. He changed his mind. He repented of the evil and said unto them that he would not do unto them. And then that last clause is the key, and he did it not. Jonah, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. 8 words preached it all through the city, and his audience was receptive. Now, he didn't think they would be, but his audience was receptive, and they turned from the error of their ways. Now, this made Jonah mad, but we should never be mad when somebody does what God commands. Well, what about Jesus Christ? What was his preaching today? When we preach the saving gospel of Jesus Christ, they're saved. Right through Jonah's preaching, if the people were obedient to it, they would be saved. Well, today, if we preach the gospel, the whole gospel, the true gospel, not tampering it, not modifying it, not making it say what we want it to say, but preaching it for what God said it is, people will be saved. Notice what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, or the wisdom of God by the world, God knew it not. I love this phrase. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You ever wondered why we don't try to save people some other way? Why we don't smack them in the head and hope they change their ways? Why we don't just drop them off the side of a cliff and hope they save their ways? That's not what God said to do. See, God wants us to preach unto sinful men the message of repentance, just like Jonah did. But notice, to save them that believe. Now, believe is a part for the whole belief. It's obedience. It involves everything. Go back to the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 13 through 17. Jesus wants us to preach and to teach. Romans 10, 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings, a glad tidings of good things. That's from Isaiah 52 and 7. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Isaiah 53, 1. For Isaiah said, Lord, who had believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want to learn how to convert somebody? You preach, and you let them read. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. They can't hear unless someone goes to preach, and they can't preach unless someone sends them. Mark 16, 15, 16. We've already read this one once. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. Now to me, that sounds like being sent to preach, doesn't it? It's why we call it the Great Commission. It's all encompassing. So how should they hear? Well, Jesus is sending them forth. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe will be damned or condemned. So I see some similarities, don't you, in the preaching of Jesus and Jonah. So where do we end this with? I've got two routes you can take in this one, and both will arrive you at the same place, I'm hoping. Number one, you can hear the words of Jonah's sermon, because Jonah told you to repent of the wickedness in your life. Or you can hear the words of Jesus Christ and repent of the wickedness in your life to be saved. Both will wind you up at repentance. Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. That's how you're saved. You're immersed into Christ. Go down that watery grave. Come out a new creature, alive. Repent and be converted. Acts 3, 19. Repent and be baptized. Acts 2 and verse 38. Now, what do you do if you're a Christian? Well, then you remain faithful. And if you have sinned, if you've fallen away, then you repent. But you don't be baptized again. But God says he'll forgive you if you confess. 1 John 1 verse 9. Boy, pretty good lesson for a man who got swallowed by a fish, isn't it? Hope you learned the lesson of Jonah. Hope you see the parallels with Jesus. And I hope you heed the message of Jesus Christ. If you need to make your life right or you need to turn to God to begin with, we'd love to invite you to make that be known while we stand and while we sing.